Hey friends, this is Jason Verlinde, the publisher of the Fretboard Journal. You are listening to the Fretboard Journal's podcast. This is podcast number 49, believe it or not. We took a little break because of the holidays, then NAMM came up. That was last week. Sorry, it's been a while, but we're going to get back on track with these. This week we're talking to the amazing arch-chop guitar builder, Tom Rebecki. This is kind of an unusual podcast for us. We don't usually do things like this. But Tom has been Facebooking about all sorts of pertinent guitar topics over the years. The Lacey Act, he's been working to revise that with members of Congress. And lately, he's been posting about how he may lose his amazing digs near Healdsburg, or in Healdsburg, California, where he's been building guitars, beautiful, beautiful archtop guitars for years. He's also been hosting amazing parties during the Healdsburg Guitar Festival. He's done a ton of guitar building classes out of this facility, and he may be losing his home. They may be selling the property that it sits on. He's got some ideas he wants to do in terms of creating a center for luthery. He's been talking about doing some stuff with the vibrational arts and holistic healing. Tom's got a ton of ideas. We kind of chatted about it. I gave him some advice. I told him to maybe turn to Kickstarter. He replied that he's got this series of his final 25 guitars that he, you know, eventually is going to start working on. That might be a great way to do some fundraising. So this week we have Tom Rebecki, and he's going to tell us a little bit about his situation he's currently in. I figured if anybody might be interested in a Tom Rebecki guitar, Fretboard Journal readers would be. And maybe this is your chance. Maybe this will set you over the edge. You'll want to buy a guitar finally from him. Or maybe you have some other ability to help him out. So we're talking to Tom. It's a good interview. Tom's always a great communicator. He's a true spokesperson for this whole modern-day luthery movement. He's come up to Seattle recently to talk about archtop guitar building to the local luthiers here. Great guy. So that's coming up. I just want to mention Fretboard Journal 24 is mailing to subscribers everywhere. This is going to be an interesting issue. The Eddie Vedder of Pearl Jam is on the cover, talking about guitars, talking about ukuleles. He's got an amazing, kind of quirky collection of guitars that he walked me through. I think it's going to sell out in stores. It usually does. So by all means, if you haven't subscribed yet or want to just order it online from us directly, you should do that. It helps us out a little bit better because there's no middleman we have to pay. It's also going to guarantee that you get a nice, pristine copy. I have a feeling they're going to sell fairly quickly at the Barnes & Nobles and guitar stores of the world. In addition to Eddie Vedder in that issue, we got the Telecaster Maestro, Red Volkert. We've got bluesman John Hammond, a great photo essay of Gallagher guitars, and a whole lot more. So that's coming out. It's mailing out right now. Should be in stores in a week or two. NAMM was last weekend. Had a great time. It was fun to visit old friends and new friends and see what was going on there. Had a great dinner with TJ Thompson, the amazing Martin repair person. And met Mark from Folkway Music, one of our advertisers. Had a good time. Not a whole lot to report in terms of groundbreaking stuff, but we do have some photos on our Facebook page. So go over there if you want to check out some of our photo galleries. I think we actually did 3 days worth of photos. Had a great time, and without further ado, this is Tom Rebecki, archtop builder extraordinaire, telling the world a little bit about the situation he's in, and if you know somebody who might be interested in one of the world's nicest archtops, or might be interested in helping him out in achieving these goals he has, by all means, forward the podcast to friends, family, anyone else you might think would dig this. And next week, we'll be talking to luthier David Eichelbaum, another California luthier. He's based down near Ojai, California, though. And then we're going to do some with Larry Cragg next week after. So we're going to get back on track with these weekly podcasts. Thank you very much for listening, as always. I hope you had a great new year. Here's Tom.
Talking to me via phone on the side of the road somewhere near Healdsburg is Tom Rebecki. Tom, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Jason.
Tom,
how are you?
I'm doing great. Tom is a staple of the whole Healdsburg guitar scene. Anyone who's gone to the Healdsburg Guitar Festival probably has heard about, if not attended, one of his epic parties that he throws at his homestead. And you're also very active on Facebook. You've done a lot for all this work people are doing in D.C. on the Lacey Act, but There's some recent news that is the reason we're talking today. Tom, can you kind of describe what's going on in your world?
Well, sure. Thank you, Jason, for taking the time to even notice this stuff. A threat war journalist is just a centerpiece of my home environment. It's pretty much the guitar magazine that I read. But and I love what you guys do, so thank you.
Thanks.
We are this place that I live is I've been here for about 10 years, and for those of you who have attended the Healdsburg Festival and come to the parties and the events, I've done a lot of teaching in this facility. I have an absolutely beautiful place that I live, and I was not able to buy this place 10 years ago following a divorce, so I've had a wonderful relationship over 10 years with an option to purchase this place at the right of first refusal. Now, that plan was unexpectedly accelerated by the need for the owner to move the property very quickly due to some things going on in their lives. So I've got about 6 weeks to solve a problem. I either need to buy this facility, this place that I live in, or I need to move my shop and my home. And, of course, that's never good news for a guitar maker who's got tons of work in progress and, you know, a lot of stuff going on. So the bottom line is I'm sort of in a crunch for raising money for this, and but I have a very short time to do this, or I'll have to let this go. Two things I'm really interested in, and my plans for this place, because of the size of it, I can park probably 250 cars here. I have an incredible barn, which is my shop and a teaching facility. And, you know, what my plan and thought about this particular place, because of its beauty, its aesthetic, and it's a place I've done the best work of my life, I always wanted to take this vision and this particular facility to a teaching and R&D center for building and studying stringed instrument design, which would include to me everything from the violin family. It was my dream to be able to invite the best in the world to come teach here, to hold forth, to do research on stringed instrument design. As you might not know, I have a couple of patents on guitars. The Halfling is an outgrowth of all of that. And, you know, I've always had an interest in the cutting edge of guitar development, but I'm very, very interested in sort of creating my vision has always been to do this with this facility, and of course time has caught up with me now. So I'm looking for two things. One is I would really, really appreciate it if anybody's looked at my work and is interested in what I do and has wondered if they could do anything to help. And like I say, for those folks who've been to these historic musical gatherings here, this place has got some magic to it. Fretboard Journal has been helping me with this for the last few parties and have always been a feature here. Love to have Fretboard Journal be part of this, by the way. But, you know, I guess the bottom line is I need one of two things. I need, ideally, I would love it if the people are looking at my Final 25 guitars. I'm going to create a special model of Final 25. The program here is these are the last guitars I'll build completely by myself with no assistance in my shop. I have two helpers who work on me, Stuart Day and Megan Wells, who are magnificent at what they do. And, you know, these folks have their own beginning luthery practices as well. But these are instruments that I will build completely by myself. And I created this program a year or two ago to sort of raise the bar for myself, to create that sort of, as time goes by, hopefully the masterpieces that I will leave as my final really, really complete guitars. This will take about 2 to 3 years to complete, and I have, I think, when I last looked, I have seven of those slots left. There's a $10,000 deposit required for this instrument, and I will build any instrument in my line that I do, archtop of any sort or type, halfling, as a private shop instrument with masterpiece materials, the best of everything, things that I've saved for 30 years, and those instruments are priced between, typically between $20,000 and $30,000 in that range. Some of them will go with a multi-necked instrument, maybe a little more. It depends on the client, but this is a project I've had in place for a while, and it occurred to me I could use this to help raise money for folks who really wanted to see this center get developed. And I really believe this vision would bring together, you know, we really need a sentinel place to study. I'm reminded of Richard Snyder's Lost Mountain seminars and his facility up in Squim when he was alive. This is what I would like to do with this place, and I think for so many people who share the musical environment here, great artists, that's my vision. And The other thing I could use is I need a partner and purchase this property because the mortgage would be kind of high for a single guitar maker. Love to find a partner who would like to perhaps invest in the property. Great potential for value even with this crazy real estate world. So I'm open to all of these things. I think this would be the ideal facility here. If I am not able to stay in this place, I will find another facility and do this in the next year or two. But this really would be the ideal one, and it would be the perfect outcome. So, in essence, I'm creating seven final 25 slots left, which I will dedicate to the creation of the center and the purchasing of this property, because you must start with that before I can go any further. And that is what I'm doing. So if anybody is interested in becoming and seeing my dream come to fruition or participating in that, the weird thing is I have had a lot of incredible folks rush forward and say, we really want to be part of this. This sounds like a great idea. I'm also interested in doing some research on music and the healing arts, because we've seen a lot of that in our life and times, and it also opens up the possibility of having a percentage of this be nonprofit work. And there's grants for that available as well. I have a lot of great people on staff who are very excited about this. So that is the plan, and I hope it works out. So is that clear, or did I confuse anybody?
Yeah, no. I think you did a good job summarizing it. Describe to me, because I know you have a few. You know, you mentioned the Halfling. You have a couple different guitar companies. What work gets done at the place we're talking about versus what work gets done outside right now?
Well, fantastic. This is the private shop. This is what's been often called the Rebecca Blues Barn.
Uh-huh.
The place in I have two shops, and one the reason why there's a second shop is about 6 years ago when the Halfling guitar was developed as a result of a commission from a fantastic client named Paul Samanda, who maybe people know in the guitar community, asked me if I would build something that would be a little bit different, that would create some new stream of instrument making, and I built the Halfling that was purchased by a family of stockbrokers that led to investment in the company that led to about $1.5 million worth of Halfling guitars that we have built and sold around the world since that time. Archtops primarily, basses, so the Bobby Vega model, and these are instruments with a flatter side of the soundboard. They're much bigger bass and mid-range response Halflings, so mm-hmm. You've probably seen these around. That company has a facility in Windsor, California, a few miles from here, and that is the production company. They're run by my daughter, Mike Gutch, the foreman, and the great crew. And this is the private shop from whence all designs and developments occur, and when I have a commission for a private instrument, and I've always had those, would have them before and after anything I would do. This is really the main thrust of my life. This is the private shop where my house is in front, and the barn behind is the place. What makes this facility unique is that it's an ideal location for house concerts, for lots of parking, for neighbors that are. I really love what I do here and are very willing to support what we do. And, of course, the setting is hard to beat Healdsburg for. It's a spectacular consciousness and setting. We have the two larger suppliers of materials here. We have Todd Taggart at Allied Traders and, of course, LMI within Stone's Throw. So this is really sort of a community. Makes me think of, and I look up in the hills here, and what I see is I see Italy. It's very beautiful here, and it's very much like Cremona in its own way, relative to the guitar-making consciousness. So my hope is that to put a facility like this here is fantastic, because I know I could attract the best and the brightest from around the world to come teach. And I've been also developing my own work with cellos and violins. I'm working in that direction. And to me, the essence of music is communication. Musical people have very few places to go. We work independently in small facilities, and we create designs which drive the market. My life has been small luthery for so many years. I've worked in garages. I almost worked in the back of a car. Anything I would do, I could sell and put guitars on the planet. At this point, I really think that a facility like this would be a nexus for the next generation. And when you go to a show now, what you see If I go to an Art Stop show or a guitar with a Luthery show, probably 10% of the folks who go to Art Stops have studied with me at some point or other. And
describe
so
name
lot of,
some of those guys.
Oh, okay. Let's see, Ryan Thorell. That's he's a phenomenal talent. Eric Solomon.
Yep.
Al Schaefer. The list goes on and on and on. Tyrone Rivera, who worked for me for many years, Tom Cirletti, who's a phenomenal maker and repair guy, who just a brilliant talent, who worked for me many years. There's been a parade, but those are people who actually worked for me. And the folks who have studied with me, there's a long, long, long list. And, I what I do is I teach courses in archtop making, and I've just discovered that that is something, as I get a little older, I really want to put an emphasis on writing, teaching, and inviting the best come teach with me, because I think that that's sorely lacking. There's no real nexus, which isn't, it's one thing to have to be running guitars through MRIs at Stanford, and that's a great thing. Who doesn't want to see what that does? It's another thing to bring the people who are able to literally come to a beautiful part of the country, teach for a week, and there's nothing better than being up close in person with somebody who is, it's a little bit like, I think of my great friend Bobby Vega, who's a phenomenal bassist, and I'll say to Bobby sometimes, Bobby, if this was Harry Potter, we were a wizard. Folks who have that kind of gift and sharing that up close and personally with people is huge. And I'm fortunately at that point in my career where I think that it's really time to organize this and be a nexus for this, and because the facility is particularly given to it because we've had night after night of historic jazz here, and now other musics as well. I think that this is a place where so many people have come here, and you can feel the vibe here. And this is California. I'm a kid who grew up in Brooklyn. I'm not levitating as we speak, but there is something to be said. I think anybody who's a great force in the world of musical instrument making or playing understands there's a thing called mojo and there's a thing called magic in instruments. And if you didn't believe that, you probably wouldn't be doing this. This place is particularly special in that sense. So, as I say, one way or the other, the center will come to fruition either here or in another location. I believe this would be the best, and I think having to leave this place would be a loss for the musical community. And so I guess I've learned over my many, many years of being a warrior in this business. This is my 39th year of making instruments, and I think that sometimes you have to reach out and ask if folks really want to help or be part of something. I cannot do this on my own. I can do a lot of things on my own, but this is something I literally don't have the financial strength or the timing to do with time. So. Huge number of people have rushed forward. I'm trying to organize all of that, but the number one goal here is to be able to secure this property,
sure.
For which I need some sales quickly, and if anybody's interested in perhaps equity sharing this property. I think this is about a $600,000 property and with a huge potential for growth and investment. But I think the real issue here is more having the ability to contribute at pretty low overhead to a place where I literally would have the best in the world coming to teach and study and learn, and also creating a scientific record of things like, there's a lot of information in the database about deflection testing. There's speed of sound with which material transmits sound. There are many, many theories, but to coalesce those into a broader and wider database to take some of the information from the great violin people who've been doing this more seriously than us for many years, and to offer anything from 1 to to 2 week workshops here in this wonderful facility. This is a place you can come and forget everything but guitar making. These classes that I teach are 9 a.m. till 2 a.m. for 4 days or 5 days a week, because we start with nothing, and on the sixth day we string up the arch top that I built. It's very rough and there's no finish on it, but when you teach this way and you watch people's eyes go wide as you do the initial voicing work and the instrument comes to light, this is a cathartic experience. And I think this is why You know, Jason, you interviewed me in Seattle when I got to stop by your wonderful facility. And we talked a little bit about my father's boats, and that I teach this way by example because my father built these boat models. I think you guys are going to do a story about this at some point. But, you know, he built these incredible boat models with the popsicle sticks that I grew up with as a kid with my 41st cousins in Brooklyn. He built the world's most incredible ship models, of which I have a few, and he never said to me, when he saw my first shop, he said, "So you're a mechanic." And he said, "I hope you still love this in 30, 35 years. And, you know, it only was recently when I've really come, this has been echoing in my head for many, many years. And it really came to, I really came to an understanding of what he was saying all those years ago. He was saying, number one, don't not love what you do. And I've learned to find ways to love what I do, even when I'm exhausted. But the reality is, what he was saying, it's not so much that you build guitars, it's what you do with the talent to do this and with the support to do it. So we've done a lot of work with Treble Kids. We've worked with Guitar Planet, our reality show, which is now headed for British Sky TV, focusing on what it's like to be a luthier in America and an artist in America. The role of if you have fortune, and I've been very fortunate in my career to have people like my work, and I'm amazed by that every time somebody orders a guitar. I still feel so honored. But the bottom line is, it's not the guitars. It's the people that I work with. It's what you do with this. And to me, this is a point in my career where it's time to think not just about making guitars, not, you know, get up every day like a zombie and say, must make guitars, but to say, must do everything I can at this point to bring what I've learned over my 39-year career, what other folks have learned, my great friends, who are just these extraordinary instrument makers, who when I see their work, my jaw drops. You know, I go to see Steve Grimes' work, and I can't believe what he's done. My good friend Linda Manzer blows me away every time I look at her work. And, you know, these are my friends and peers, and I these folks are really, really special, and I would love to have the opportunity to teach with these folks. And I think that everybody says they'd love to come out and do this, and I think this is what we need to do. So my new mission, aside from acquiring the property, which is where it starts, is to create this center and to expand it as time goes by to a first-class facility for this sort of thing in America, because I don't know of another one.
Yeah. And, no, I mean, I think it's a great idea. We have guitar festivals that take place for one weekend out of the year. We have, online forums where people hang out, but there's not a center for where all the magic is happening and the knowledge sharing. You have classes like Roberto Venn, but you don't have anything where it's taken on a higher level like you're going to do.
Well, I think, it makes me think of a day I came down to teach at Roberto Venn and Steve Anderson, who's just an extraordinary, talented maker, who had gone to Roberto Venn when it was really insipid, very young and kind of a crazy place, was there hiding in a storage locker. When I ran into Steve, I was just delighted, and I invited him to join me. We had a lovely afternoon talking to the students. You know, Roberto Venn is actually I've had some Roberto Venn guys working for me. It's a typical school, Lutheran school, and I think that's great. I think this is the sort of facility I would love to be able to bring, a master. Master classes here for reasonably short periods of time, because concentrated study with folks who have identified. What was my good friend Vegas said yesterday, Bobby? He said, "I saw the Matrix at the NAMM show." if you know Bobby, you know what that would mean. Is that there is just this incredible superstructure underlying the world that we all run around in, of shared interest, and to me, if you want to be great at what you do, you study with people who are better than you, and you study with people who have done it. It's a little bit like the lesson you learn when you play music. You know, if you want to get better, you play with people who can whip your tail, and then you get better. So, from my perspective, I think there's so much knowledge out there, and frankly, with everybody dealing with things like Lacey, which is what has been taking me to D.C. with NAMM's, working with NAMM on that, with all of the factors, the economy, the last 3 years in the economy, with everybody sort of coming out, and we can see the economy getting better now, with all of this stuff, I don't want to lose the knowledge that I've had the privilege of living 39 years, actually close to, pardon me, 4 years, since 2012, I feel like sometimes I've been blessed to come through the best part of American Lutheran with the masters of the craft, Benedetto Monteleone, you know, Zeidler, many of the others I've mentioned, the Steel String guys, the Samaji, the incredible, incredible people. This is a database and a knowledge base that young makers who are coming in now, and this is interesting, we talk about this, they're very, very interested in the internet age where you can download information and you know, it isn't, we shared things very openly as young makers. It was a privilege to come through most of my lifetime with these extraordinary people. It's one thing to download things on the internet and to do this in a way where information is available in a hot and cold running format. However, it's like everything else on the internet. Information is one thing, and teaching and studying with masters and can change your life. It's Lord knows it's happened to me, and I would spend 10 minutes with a master and of whatever that craft was, and I would never be. I remember once having the opportunity to play with Timmy Olin McLaughlin on one of their events, and. You know, I don't think I slept for, I was about 25, I don't think I slept for 4 days. You know, the energy you get when you do that is a different energy, and I think that in the depersonalized world of the internet, this is the sort of thing that will preserve. I'd also like to publish through this facility papers and information that these wonderful, incredible craftsmen, because we have a generation of masters who are retiring soon, and you know, this is a knowledge base that we worked the hard way. I think when I started, there were 3 books on the subject. Now there's hundreds. And so, you know, there was a time when somebody would say, you would say, what do? You say, I'm a guitar maker. And they would go, I've never heard of anybody doing that. Now, because of our incredible proliferation, you know, we have a lot of information and knowledge out there. But it's one thing to have knowledge. It's another thing to make the leap to greatness. It's my intention to catharsize individuals, to create this database before these folks retire, before this knowledge is lost forever. Now, this to me is a great calling. And as I say, I'll do this either in this facility or in another one, but this really would be ideal. Unfortunately, the time is the issue here. I've been caught. 6 weeks is not a lot of time to solve this kind of problem. So I guess the bottom line is when people hear this, if they are interested in it, if you've been thinking about it, if you thought about this sort of thing, the time to do something about it and help is now, not in 6 weeks or 3 weeks. I'm happy to talk to anybody about this, and I can, my email, should I give my email?
Yeah, go for it.
Smart? That would be ribguitar, R-I-B-G-U-I-T-A-R, at AOL.com. You can also find me at www.rebecke.com. That's R-I-B-B-E-C-K-E. If anybody has any interest in getting involved with this or purchasing an instrument to help with this, one of these final 25 guitars, which, you know, I have a pretty spectacular stash of quilted mahogany and some other materials that are very, very rare that I will devote to this. This is the time to act, and you will never be forgotten. You will always be held in high esteem here, and you'll always be welcome. So that is really the thrust of today's message from me. And,
yeah.
You know, I hope that helps.
No, as you alluded, we're going to do something on you in the magazine, and if our lead time wasn't so dang long, we would be writing about this. But podcasts seem like the best way to get the word out quickly. And so, you know, I would like to think that in this very close-knit world of guitar collectors and guitar builders, somebody should be able to help you out. So we'll see.
Well, I've had a great rush of people who are interested, and I've been able to – here's exactly what's going on. I've been able to put together a couple of deals so far, which will cover about half of what I need for this by extraordinary people. I have one individual who's commissioning a collection of instruments, which will be really extraordinary. This is the sort of thing I really need, and that way everybody wins. He will get these instruments at a reduced price, but really extraordinary instruments, so they will become a lending library for great players. This fellow is very highly placed in that world. This is the sort of thing I need. So, you know, sometimes in life one must get really creative, and that's what I'm going to do here. So.
All right. Tom, thanks so much. There's so many facets to your career we could be talking about. We could be talking about that reality show, be talking about the boats, but we're talking about this. So I just want to get the word out, and thanks so much.
Hey, thank you, Jason, and thank you, and Rachel, and everybody up there for what you guys do. I know how hard you work, and I know how much you really have a real belief and you really care about you. This is your life. This isn't just a magazine. And that's apparent. The first second you step into the Fretboard Journal offices and spend a few minutes with you guys, that's what it is. And you're a rare individual, so thank you for what you do.
Thank you, Tom. Talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Take care.